For as long as I can remember, in the UK, it has always been cheaper to buy a property than rent. So if you went to look at a property and you'd calculate what it cost to sort of rent an average flat or a house, it was usually cheaper to buy that property. And even when rates were high, it was still cheaper to buy than rents. But now renting a home has become cheaper than buying. Now, this is unbelievable because you've got record low interest rates at the moment, and yet it's now become cheaper to rent than buy. Now, it's long been assumed that this was the case, but thanks to house prices going up and up and up, especially in the last year when everyone's scrambling to buy and perhaps move out of the city centres, the tide has now turned and it's actually become more expensive to buy than rent. And this is combined with rents coming down a bit in the last year as well. Now, this is according to research done by Hamptons, the leading estate agents, saying that this is the first time in 6 years that this trend has happened. And the estate agent reveals that prior to the pandemic last year in March, people buying with a 10% deposit would have been £100, just over £100 better off than a renter. But last month, figures show that the average sector for private sector renting was £71 a month less in rent than buying. Now, obviously, you've got to make certain assumptions here. You've got to make certain assumptions on how much deposit people are putting in, the rates they're getting, and that sort of thing. So it's very difficult to make an accurate comparison, on each property. But apparently, this applies more or less across the UK, apart from places like the North East, the North West, Yorkshire and Humberside, and Scotland, where it's still cheaper to buy than rent. Now, I noticed that last year, when the lockdown happened, rental demand did drop a lot. People say that this is because a lot of people were leaving the city centres. Obviously, a lot of renters are younger people, and some of them were sort of saying, "Well, look, my job has stopped, or people want me to work from home now, so I'm going to just go home and live with my parents out in the suburbs or in the countryside." So rental dropped, but also you had a lot of people from Eastern Europe, in the hospitality sector, who's, they were just laid off. So they thought, well, what am I doing renting a property here? I might as well just go back to wherever and sit it out for a while and then come back. And I don't know if all of those people have come back. Certainly the hospitality sector is opening up again a little bit, although we've had that stumbling block with this extended, not a lockdown, but extended restrictions that were supposed to end on the 21st of June. So that's hit the hospitality sector again and the travel sector. So I don't know if all of those people have come back, but rental has picked up. But then I found in London that there are a lot more rental properties around, so rents have dropped. So landlords are having to cut back a little bit on their demands. So maybe this is why. And London has seen the biggest change, of course, because in London, this is where it's been hit. The market has been hit in central London, because if you look at the city centres now, that the city of London, where the financial district is, if you go there on an average week, where it used to be buzzing with people, it's not dead, but it's very, very quiet. And of course, yesterday we heard that the government is saying, well, we're happy for people to sort of work from home more or less indefinitely. And you've got these HR advisors saying, yes, people love working from home. Well, of course they do. Why would you want to get on a train and a bus and a tube to traipse into London when you could be sitting at home doing your laundry, maybe dropping the kids off to school while you're still working? Of course people like it, and from the work what this called work-life balance thing, it's great for them. However, maybe some employers don't like it and they'll want people to come back to the office where they get that dynamic going. But certainly, there's been a big drop in office demand, and I think we're going to see a lot of offices, as we're already seeing, office blocks applying for permission to turn them into flats. Although, in the City of London, unless you work in the City of London, I'm not quite sure who'd want to live right there in that area. Unless they've got work to do in that area. It's not the most exciting place on a weekend. But some people might still like to live close to London anyway, even if they're not actually working right there in the city. But Even though Hamptons have reported a 7% rise in average rent over the last 12 months, I'm not quite sure that's true, because I've seen rents drop, or maybe they've just increased very, very recently. But what they're saying is higher loan-to-value loans, mortgage rates have added to the cost of buying a home. Now, even though we've got record base rate reductions and low rates, lenders are still hiking up their rates. They're not necessarily tied to the base rates. So, you know, you've got added fees on these and stamp duty and that sort of thing as well that add into the cost of buying a home. But this is quite a big factor now. Will this mean that, you know, property prices have got to come down because, you know, if people can sort of sit it out and rent for a while, maybe they're not going to buy a property. Don't forget, we've got the end of the stamp duty holiday coming up at the end of this month in June. So will that see the demand drop? Well, we've talked about this before, and some lenders are saying, no, demand won't drop. A lot of buyers are still planning. We had this nationwide survey saying a lot of buyers are still planning to go ahead regardless of the stamp duty holiday ending. And of course, in a lot of areas in the country, the stamp duty holiday is immaterial. It's only in the southeast where you're buying properties, say £500,000 or more, where the stamp duty really starts to hit. It's an obscene tax, to be honest, but it's not going to affect you if you're buying a property in the northeast, for instance. It doesn't really matter. Stamp duty used to be like that. It was a nothing tax. It was like, you know, £1,000 on a property. Now it can be £15,000, £20,000, £25,000 on top of the cost of buying a property. It's absolutely obscene to tax people who are taking themselves off of the rental market. They're not asking for government property to rent. They're not asking for low cost housing. They're doing their own things. They're rowing their own boat and buying their properties, and then they get hit with this tax just to pay for, you know, whatever, or to pay for the lockdown. I don't know, but look, in the long run, there are many factors to take into account here. First-time buyers are not just going to say, well, oh, it's £100 a month cheaper, so I'll continue to rent. This is just one of these headlines that get attention for Hamptons. But, you know, of course, buyers do pay for maintenance. They pay for the cost of repair, which renters don't pay. And, you know, there might be other things like the service charges. Who's going to pay those service charges? But look, buyers obviously benefit in the future from long-term growth and future equity in your property. You know, unless you live in a place which never goes up in value, most parts of the country do go up in value over the long term. So buyers are going to benefit from that. And obviously, even if rents are low now, landlords will look to put up those rents over the years. Whereas on a mortgage, yes, your interest rate could go up with a mortgage, but in the long term, you're paying down your mortgage with devalued paper money. In other words, your debt may be, you know, £100,000 a day, and, you know, in 15, 20 years' time, that debt of £100,000 is not going to seem as much because of inflation, because the value of your paper money, that money in your pocket, is being devalued over time. It might sound a small amount, 1% or 2%, but the buying power of your money is going down over the years. But in terms of debt repayment, you're paying that money back with devalued money, if you know what I mean. So like the government, for instance, is borrowing money today, which you know, they know that with inflation, the value of that loan that they've got is going to go down with inflation. They're almost paying that money off with inflation. So you've got to look at that as a buyer. What, you know, it's like if you think about, you know, 20 years ago, what you could do on a night out with £50 or £100 compared to now. You know, I won't show my age, but, you know, the value of money, because, oh, that seems expensive. Years ago, I could go out on a night out for £30 and buy around, you know. So that's just an example of the buying power of your money. And look how property has gone up in value compared to the value of ordinary paper money. You know, if we go back to the 80s, somebody on an ordinary salary, like a teacher or nurse, could buy a property in the London area. You know, they've been squeezed out now. And even in the suburbs, the outer ring of London, they're finding it hard to even buy a little flat. Whereas in the past, they could buy a semi-detached house in the suburbs of London. But because values of assets like property have gone up so much, but the value of the pound in their pocket or the dollar in their pocket has devalued. It's gone down with inflation. So they can't afford to do those same things and buy those properties. But if you had a property, if you bought a property in the 1970s, the 1980s, you know, for 25,000 or 30,000 pounds, that could easily be worth £1 million today. Whereas if you just kept your money in cash, if you just kept money in the bank, that 25,000 pound in the bank, yes, you might have earned a little bit of interest. So let's say it's worth 40,000 pounds a day. You can't buy that £1 million property with that 40,000 pounds. It might sound a bit ridiculous, but just look at that, think about that. So in the long term, it's still better to buy than rent, of course. You know, unless you're one of these people who don't want to own anything, you just don't want any responsibility. Obviously, if you're in a council flat, if you're in government housing, then you know that might not apply it to some extent because you're on low rents and you've got security. But one of the major reasons private renters want to buy is for that long-term security, of tenure. They don't get that in the private sector. Obviously, a private landlord will give them a year's contract, a year's short-hold tenancy. And a lot of renters fear that, you know, that the buy-to-let landlord will one day evict them. You know, for whatever reason, the landlord might say, look, I want to retire to Spain. I'm selling everything. And I just want to sell the property. Or, you know, your landlord dies and it's the person taking over, the person who inherits that property might say, look, I need to sell this property. It could be because there's a mortgage on the property and the lender won't transfer the mortgage. They might have to sell it. So there's various reasons, but this can obviously be stressful for tenants, right? This is a stressful moment for tenants. And I can understand that, you know, because a private landlord does not want to give somebody a lifelong tenancy as the government will do. And even government councils are moving away from this now, whereas they would say if you're a council tenant, you had a tenancy for life. That's perhaps not the case now. And councils are not even building council properties very much nowadays. And this is what they need to do to solve the housing crisis. Now, look, if you want to get into property, then the best way to get into it is to learn how to do it properly. And you can do this. There's a free property investment secrets course coming up next week. It's called Discover the Ultimate Beginner's Guide to Buying a Property in 2021 with my friend and property expert, Kevin McDonnell. And it's a complimentary property training next Wednesday, the 23rd of June. I'm going to put a link up at the bottom here. So if you're interested in that, you know, this could be as an investor, it could be as a first-time buyer, whatever. But you can find out how you can start earning life-changing sums from property, but avoiding the mistakes that most people make. Now, new investors need to look at strategies which could involve no money down investing. It could involve using joint venture capital from other people. But in many ways, people miss out because they think, oh, I need a big deposit to get into property. No, you don't. There's many ways you can get into property without necessarily having your own money in your pocket. So join Kevin next Wednesday. Click on the link below and you can join him for absolutely free. And I'd certainly recommend doing this and taking advantage of these free resources because the market moves on. And, you know, property has certainly been a major part of my life's investment over the past 30 years and even longer. And it's always benefited me. It's always something that's there. It's like a rock. It's really like bricks and mortar. That foundation has been a rock. Even though businesses have gone up and down, jobs have come and gone, but the property has always been there. And my biggest regret is not doing more of it rather than, you know, did I lose out on one or two deals? Yes, I did lose money on some property, but the vast majority, 90% of the cases, I made money on property and still am making passive income from property. Now, bear in mind, there's a pensions time bomb out there. Most, you know, millions of millennials, baby boomers and younger people have got no adequate provision for their pension. They've got no way of retiring because if you don't have passive income, you can never stop working, right? And it's right to say, well, I'll keep working. But what if your health changes? What if you haven't got that job? What if the place you're working in just decides to lay you off and replace you with a robot? You need some passive income. Now, in the past, companies looked after their employees. They had defined benefit pension schemes, which give them guaranteed pensions for life, like people get in the civil service, or if you're a nurse or a police officer, a fireman, you know, you can get a guaranteed pension for life. Most people in the private sector don't have anything like that, so they're not going to be able to retire comfortably. So property is one way people are looking at this, because they say, well, if I have a property or two behind under my belt and I've paid that mortgage off by the time I retire, maybe that will give me enough income to live on. And this has worked for people, you know, in the past, and it can work for you too. And so that's what you might want to look at as an alternative to trying to put stuff as much money into a pension scheme that might not give you the returns you were looking for because it's linked to the stock market. This might be a way of doing it. And the other advantage of property is you can use leverage. You can borrow money to buy property. You can't borrow money to put into your pension scheme. You can borrow money to buy property. So you can use other people's money to get yourself on the property ladder and start accumulating real wealth that over time will be worth far more than just keeping your money in cash. So do look at that property training. Click on the link below. And I'll certainly be tuning in to Kevin, because you can always learn something new from guys like Kevin. You can always learn a new trick. And you know, the saying is, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, don't be an old dog that you can't teach. So, well, I know that, I've done these courses before. No, you might learn something new by tuning in to Kevin. So there you go. Click on the link below. Have a look at that. And I will see you in the next video. This is Charles Kelly bringing you money tips to help you save, earn, invest, accumulate, and enjoy more money. Thanks for listening. And bye for now.